Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres in a playoff spot? And they only scored one goal and a win?
Breaking news, playoffs start now.
There we go.
No, not actually. It'd be great, though.
UB football?
In a bowl game?
And they keep
soon,
winning?
Hopefully.
Pete Lembo doing things as a first-year head coach not done since 1897?
Also, real quick, Sean Dolak.
Sean Dolak.
Dude.
Good sports night for Buffalo.
Two interceptions and an interception return for a touchdown. And hurdle the dude.
He did hurdle the dude.
Like,
very, very good sports night for
Buffalo. Ran across the field twice, too, in that return. He starts on the right hash, goes left, goes back to the right, and then... Also, great blocking from teammates.
I was going to say, Sean Dolak did also tweet out the video, and he's like, look at that blocking.
Right, and they're, like, guiding him, too. Like, the one guy's, like directing him like a
oh.
You know, the airplane guys with the little orange sticks? They're not traffic controllers. That's the guys in the tower. Who are the guys with the sticks?
Just like, not a clue. I know exactly who they are.
You know what I'm talking about.
Not a clue, though.
I don't know what their actual title is, but whoever they are, that's what those defenders for UB did last night for Sean Dolak.
It's beautiful.
And not to mention the 90-yard touchdown to start the game.
To J.J. Jenkins. Yeah. Big plays. Big plays all day.
Awesome night from UB.
Great night for Buffalo sports. Great night for UB and the Sabres. Again, the Sabres, if you don't know, won 1-0 last night over the Kings. They went 1-for-3 on the power play.
Exhilarating.
Zucker again scores a power play goal. That's
also,
what he does.
Sabres penalty kill, 0-5. Or 5-for-5, I should
five
say.
5-for-5.
LA Kings power play, 0-for-5.
We're going to have Paul Hamilton on at 10:30. He's also jumping on from 12 to 1 with Brayton Wilson as well. We're going to have a fun day today. No Sabres Live or One Bills Live as they take off for the Bills bye week today and tomorrow. But yeah, I'm very excited. It was fun to wake up to this morning. I woke up from a text from you, and then it was something about the Sabres, and I was like, the Sabres won? Oh, fantastic! I immediately go to my scorer app, and all right, let's see how they won. They won 1-0?
They closed out a close game.
I was like, what?
Yeah. I got up this morning, too, and I saw, I have, the tweet notifications, and all I saw was... The latest tweet that I had gotten at probably 1:30 in the morning was a tweet from the Sabres, and that's how you get a dub. And I was like, oh, cool, they won.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't look at my phone until I got to work, and I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably check the score, get some highlights. And then I was like, oh, huh. Well, that's
right,
fun.
Right?
And then I watched a condensed game while I'm here, and it's like, oh, man, UPL. Not playing in 10 days, and then comes back and gets his first shutout of the year. Good for him.
And again, as you mentioned, Kings had 5 power plays. Yeah. 0 for 5 on there. I mean, yeah. Great job
That's
by the defense,
too,
great job by UPL.
The Sabres probably Achilles heel so far has been the fact that they can't stop taking power plays at the worst possible time. And that's like the most frustrating thing if you're a Sabres fan right now is the fact that they take so many penalties. And it's kind of refreshing to see that they can actually kill them off effectively in this game at least. And I'm not sure what LA's power play is, but you know, maybe they're middling. I'm not sure. But the fact that you could stop them, whereas the last time you played them, they did score a power play goal because you took a stupid penalty at the end of the game in the home opener. It's just kind of nice to see them turn that around.
Their power play percentage, though, I think this is after last night, is at 14.3%, which is good for 29th in the league. So not great.
Yeah, not great.
Not good.
Sabres power play, however, since, what was the date? Jeremy had this earlier.
I mean, regardless.
The Sabres power play has been insane lately.
It's been a top five unit, I believe, but through the whole season now, it is up to 17th in the league, 18.6%. So,
wow.
I mean, they've
turned it around.
They've turned it around. And they're playing. They're tough. And I did want to start here today just because I said last night on the nightcap before, kind of like a little, giving my little thoughts on the game as I wrapped up the nightcap. They have such poor games against Montreal and Philadelphia, but then such good, you know, bounce back game against St. Louis, good games against the Rangers and what have you. And they just, they keep you around is maybe my biggest thing. They keep you invested for a good portion of the season in what they can do. But for them to be able to put these performances up without Tage Thompson, who I think is their one true elite player, at least on the forward lines, It is incredibly, not incredibly impressive, but it is impressive that they're able to do this. They're somewhat taking advantage of a weak Atlantic division. We'll hope now. I mean, I think the LA game was easily their hardest game of this road trip. Now they've got San Jose and Anaheim, both not good teams really at all. They should be able to win both those games. Especially after you get the hardest one out of the way and got it done without Tage Thompson. And even Jordan Greenway's hurt as well, who, I mean, he's fairly important to this team, especially when it comes to, you know, causing turnovers and such.
Yeah. I am interested to see what they're going to do in that back-to-back.
Yeah.
If it really is going to be Reimer, if they're going to just let UPL go.
No, I think in the back-to-back, you're going to get Reimer. The real thing is Levi's not flying all the way over to
no,
do that.
No, Levi did have a good game for Rochester last night, though. He made a big save on a it wasn't an odd man rush, but it was just kind of like a backdoor scenario, and he got over and made a big save. And it's, you know, I saw a tweet at the end of the show yesterday talking about Dustin Wolf, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, if for those that don't know, that's Calgary's goaltender. He's, I think, a year or two older than Devon Levi, so he's got a little bit more experience because they've kind of came up the same way.
Yep.
Dustin Wolf played in the WHL, which is where Dylan Cousins came from, and a few other Sabres players from the past. But Zach Benson came from the WHL, too. So Dustin Wolf was dominant in the WHL. Insanely good numbers, really good goaltender. And then he goes to gets drafted by Calgary, goes to their AHL team. He puts up great numbers in the AHL in his first season, much like Devon Levi did in his first season in Rochester. Plays a little bit for the Flames at the end of that season. Does okay. Mm-hmm. Next year comes in, starts on the Flames, plays 22 games and looks terrible. Goes back to the AHL, does great. Next year he comes back and that's this year. And he's been great. They have really needed him. That Flames team doesn't have much to look forward to recently because you have bad contracts with Jonathan Huberdeau. You don't have Matthew Tkachuk anymore. There's a lot left to be desired if you're the Calgary Flames right now. But the one thing is your young goalie, who was just 22 years old when you tried to force him into the NHL, is now figuring it out.
You talk about that.
Again, look at Devon Levi.
With Calgary's AHL team playing 55 games, just over 2 goals against per game. His save percentage, .932. Saves just over 1550.
Yeah.
Under 1550.
That's the thing, is like he went crazy for them.
And then, last year, I mean, over 3 goals against, under .900 save percentage. And now, this year, he's back to that under.
How many games has he played this year?
He has played 10 games so far.
Okay. Yeah. So he's, I think it's him and who's splitting with him? Because it's not Markstrom.
1 second, I'll look this up. But yeah,
I always forget that Markstrom's in New Jersey now. It's kind of one of those moves that just kind of happened.
Dan Vladar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Vladar was...
Oh, he's a number in the 80s as a goalie. Oh.
he's one of those... He was a career backup when he was in Boston, and then he went over to Calgary and kind of... He's kind of a... I don't even know what to call him, really. He's like a 1B sort of goaltender. Maybe a little bit worse than a 1B, but still same kind of thing.
He's played in 9 games, though.
Yeah. No, he's okay. He's good, but Dustin Wolf is eventually going to be their guy.
They are getting good numbers, though, out of both their goalies. Both under 3 goals against... Both are in the positive, or well, no. Lidar has 4 losses, never mind. But both have a shutout, both over 900 save percentage. I mean, they're getting good numbers out of their
goals. And the Flames are second in the division, which even though I was just saying how much they need to work on some things, they've been winning games.
Good goalies.
I didn't realize they were that good this season so far, because last year they were not good.
Yeah, good goalies are going to get you games. You look, though, at Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen's stats for the Sabres, and I think that's a big thing for me, too, is he's also a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of argue he's sort of, not exactly like Dustin Wolf, but he has also been a guy that he was originally the high, level prospect. Mm-hmm. He was the guy that I think in Cincinnati at the time, their ECL.
Yep, ECHL, yeah.
He was like, that's the guy. You're just waiting for Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen to get here.
I remember the problem when Luukkonen was in the ECHL and even in the AHL, it was almost like he was too fast. For those,
yeah, the timing was not there.
He was not able to transition to the timing, and it looked so much worse than it was. Like, if you look at his numbers in Cincinnati, he was terrible. Like, it looked awful. But you also look at the highlights, and he'd be getting to where he needed to be, and then just...
But he was early.
He'd be way too early, and then he'd be thrown off, and, stuff happens. But I think the thing with Levi that we have to remember is what I just brought up about Dustin Wolf there, is the fact that you can have this generational goaltender, but he's only 22. Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen is 25. He's going to turn 26 this season.
That's one of my favorite things, too. Again, Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen is not like he's 32 years old. And you're like, sure, he's in his prime now, but how long?
And what's it actually going to amount to? But this is, I think we're still seeing the ascent of Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen. And I think it's only going to get better with the more opportunity he gets. That's why it's kind of crucial that Levi went down. But it's also good for Levi because he's going to keep playing. He's only an hour away when you're at home, so it's not really that hard to think, hey, if the Sabres have a back-to-back at home, Levi could drive up and be ready for the next game the next day. Obviously, like we were just talking, like out west, there's no way that Levi is going to fly out tonight or tomorrow night and play on Saturday. That's just kind of crazy. Who knows? They've done it before, but I doubt that would happen. But I look at the Sabres team and seeing what Luukkonen was able to do last year after kind of being the guy, that right there is what makes me excited for the rest of this season, is the fact that he gets better the more he plays.
Mm-hmm.
And with this new style that Lindy Ruff has them playing, I really think it's going to benefit Luukkonen and the team itself.
The key for Ukko-Pekka-Luukkonen, too, not even the ECHL, his 1 year there, 2019-2020, 23 games played, 912 save percentage, 224 goals against.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. I thought it was...
No, it's the Rochester years.
Oh,
that he's okay. Bad. It's the AHL where it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Most of those are under 900, over 3 goals against.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's weird. And then in Buffalo... He's much better.
Yep.
And so your point is still correct in the sense of like it's almost like he was moving too fast for the AHL.
Yeah.
And now with the NHL, it's like, okay, this is perfect speed for me. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
He still has moments where he frustrates me, don't get me wrong. And I think I still have some scar tissue.
The Montreal game was one of them. But at the same time, you have to remember, he was playing hurt in the Montreal game.
Yeah.
Minor hurt, whatever you want to call it.
I think for me, a lot of it is I still have scar tissue from 22-23.
Yeah. When the goalies couldn't make a save at all.
And I do mean that honestly. Like, I think that's a lot of it. And that will, especially for a goaltender, and that's such a fickle position that from year to year it can go. And he didn't start out this year all that awesome.
Yeah.
But really, since then, outside of the Montreal game, in which we found out afterwards, he's kind of dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
Which kept him out for a little while.
10 days.
And then he
comes back and he gets his first shutout of the year, 6th shutout of his career.
Yep.
Also, big thing, he signed for a long term. Yep. Longer term, I should say. He's got 4 years left on his deal. Just signed it in the offseason, that's big.
Now the key is to get Thompson healthy, get him back. I do like how they're playing that, Josh. I really do.
How much... It's hard because I didn't really get to watch the game. I only saw the condensed version.
Mm-hmm.
how much do you think they're missing Jordan Greenway right now? Because he's been one of those players this year where he's, up until this point, he was just kind of forced into a role that was, wasn't working. But now it seems like Lindy Ruff has found a way to unlock his style of play when he was playing with McLeod and Zucker. And even when he was away from the two of them, like if it was just one of them with him or he was with a line, a completely different line entirely, he's kind of been told to, hey, this is your, this is the way you play, just do this. We have guys that can do everything else. You got to do this. And that's been great so far. Greenway has been that kind of bruiser, fourth line, third line, checking guy, but he also has the ability to score goals. It's not like, you know, him being on the third or fourth line is a detriment to him. It's the fact that that's where he's the most valuable because he can be on the forecheck. He can create offensive turnovers. He can create offensive opportunities off those turnovers because he does have a little bit of skill to him. But he uses that size to kind of create that offensive skill. But I feel like, again, it's hard because I didn't see the game last night fully. But him as a player like that, I feel like is very valuable for this team in the way they play. Because, again, that's kind of how we've always seen Lindy Ruff teams.
Thompson has been the headline.
Right, obviously, because he's your top producer.
But with Greenway, it's now it's also sort of a wait. You know, you're kind of in a waiting situation with him because you're like, he is important to them. He does cause kind of chaos. He was one of their few bright spots early in the year as well.
And to be fair, too, he's not the only one that plays like this now, though. Because that's the thing in the past, is Sabres teams in the past have had that player, but it's only been one. Like, if you want to look back, Zemgus Girgensons. As much as we faulted Zemgus Girgensons for all of his negatives, he was great at certain things in terms of physicality and things like that. You only had him, and he wasn't necessarily the best. He wasn't as good as Jordan Greenway is, but he was that type of player for you. But that was all you had. But now you have a guy like Jordan Greenway. You have Jason Zucker, who has been everything this team could have hoped and dreamed for. And you also have Ryan McLeod, who is the most offensive of the three. Zucker is also there, for sure. But I think that Zucker has that bit of edge to him that McLeod doesn't fully have. But Zucker has like more offensive ability than, let's say, Jordan Greenway, right? Yeah. And that's what makes the three of them such a great line, because they all play the same, but they all like improve each other's negatives, and Zucker's kind of that middleman.
Yep. Currently in the Atlantic now, Toronto leads the way, 20 games played, 12 wins, 26 points. Florida, 19 games played, 12 wins, 25 points. Tampa Bay, 17 games played, 10 wins, 21 points. And then the Buffalo Sabres, 19 games played, 9 wins, 19 points.
So you're 2 points behind the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good spot to be in, I think, because the Lightning are one of those teams where you've been waiting so many years for them to fall off.
Yep.
Unfortunately, they go out and got Jake Guentzel in the offseason, so it makes it a little harder, but I think they're definitely someone that you could have topple.
The frustrating thing is just in this month, November, two teams that are below you, and quite comfortably, Detroit and Montreal, you lost to both.
Yeah, but you did beat Detroit once. It was a 1-1 split, but the Montreal loss, that hurts.
That one hurts, especially, and I was saying here to start the show, too, it's like... This is also a team that beat Calgary, beat the Rangers, destroyed Ottawa, you know, bounced back against St. Louis.
Yeah.
And this is just in this month. Those are wins they to be a good playoff team. I don't think just to even be a playoff team, to be a good playoff team, you got to win those games.
Yeah.
Especially Montreal, goalies just didn't show up. Now, we kind of know now is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen had an ailment. That probably did play a part into it. But even then, you scored 5 goals. You need to win that game. You need to win that game. Detroit, 2-1 loss. I mean, that's not great.
Especially
for a team that's 8th in goals right now in the league.
The one thing that does hurt you a little bit is that the Atlantic is so painfully bad.
Yeah, so mid. Oh, my goodness.
That you have to wonder what that's going to do for that wild card. Because remember, two metropolitan teams could get the wild card.
Correct.
But right now, the team that's behind you, you're tied with technically. They're behind you because of games played, I think, is the New York Islanders.
Games played are actually both 19.
Oh, okay.
I think so it's going to be goal difference.
It might be goal difference or record because the Sabres have more regulation wins. The Islanders are more...
Yeah, there might be a few things here. The Islanders are 7-7-5. Buffalo's 9-9-1. The goal difference, though, Buffalo +1, Islanders -7.
Maybe that is that then. Tiebreakers get a little confusing sometimes in the NHL.
I only care about them by like March.
Yeah, right. looking at that though, that's my one worry, is because you look at the top of the Metro, and the best team in the Atlantic is tied for third in the Metropolitan Division. That's the Maple Leafs, who are at 26 points. The best team in the Metropolitan is the Carolina Hurricanes at 28.
Which, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, and the Capitals. Where did they come from? Why did...
Well, it does... Well, like, I want to keep an eye on them now. We were all talking about them because of Ovechkin and chasing the goal record. He was also on his fastest pace
ever. Yeah.
That maybe played a part into it, of him being the leading NHL goal scorer.
And now he's week to week.
And he's 39.
Yep.
Which, his body does not heal that fast. This is the guy that drinks Coca-Cola out of a water bottle during games. I get he's a freak, but it only is going to get you so far.
In terms of Ovechkin breaking the record, this really sucks. In terms of the Capitals' playoff standings and season, it sucks for them. Like, it really sucks for them, because it's he's been a big bright spot in their team. And also, Dylan Strome.
Yes.
Coming in and being the next Nicholas Backstrom is just insane.
Dylan Strome actually leads them in points as well, 22 assists.
Yeah, because he's just assisting Ovi. Yeah. Like, he's just feeding Ovi like Backstrom used to do. So I think that's a big key to their success, and I'm interested to see how this continues as Ovechkin is out now.
They have not yet played without him. They play tonight at home against Colorado.
Okay.
Then they've got Jersey, at Florida, at Tampa. They've got a stretch there.
Yeah.
They've got a stretch there.
Right. And so, I go back to a little bit worried about the fact that the Atlantic looks so much different in points-wise. But it doesn't, just because the Atlantic's bad doesn't mean you have to be bad, right? Like, that's the thing. If
my frustrating part yesterday, was I was like, but you're also part of the problem.
Right.
You're not part of the solution.
Yeah. But so you look at the Sabres and where they could be in terms of a playoff spot, that third divisional spot is the one to aim for, obviously. It's the most secure. You can guarantee that you're in. The wild card ones just get a little froggy with the two divisions coming together. I wish they just went back to the old, just eight teams. Top eight teams make it. So forget about the divisions. Who cares? There's no rivalries anymore. It's just, it's teams you play a lot that beat you up, and then that's it. There's no real rivalries. Unless they've been rivalries for 100 years, like the Canadians and the Bruins.
Everyone in the Bruins.
Or the Battle of Florida or the Battle of Alberta. Like, those are the only real rivalries anymore. Who cares about these divisions? Just get rid of them. Abolish them.
I don't want to make it harder for the Sabres.
Stop. No, they wouldn't make it harder. It would make it easier, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Because if you look at the top eight teams right now in the division, or in the conference, I should say. Hold on. I have to pull this up. I'm looking at it in a weird way.
You would be tied with, I mean, you're tied with the Islanders and
Boston.
Right,
but you're ahead
of
the Islanders.
Yep.
And Boston.
You might be the eighth team currently.
Exactly. Yeah, so you got Carolina, Washington, Toronto, New Jersey, New York, Florida, Tampa, Buffalo. Buffalo's the eighth team right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just saying.
For now.
Just saying.
We'll say, though, real quick, why we're talking about playoffs here. I saw a stat. I think it's a lot of people do know it. Like 80% of teams that are in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving make it. And Thanksgiving is next Thursday. It is exactly a week away.
Hey,
and
the
Sabres have two games this week. That their hardest game in the Western road trip was last night. Yes. The LA Kings.
Yep.
San Jose is bad. Anaheim is bad.
Let's not write off Anaheim fully yet.
Anaheim is bad.
Nope. I don't want to write them off fully.
Anaheim is bad.
Points-wise, they're not great, but they're also only 1 point less than you in terms of...
They're 8-2.
Yeah.
They've also won three in a row, though. That's a big part of it.
Uh-huh. And you know why? Most of that is on their goaltender, Lucas Dostal. Kind of coming up the same time as Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
This man is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen last year. He's 5-6-2. But he's got a .269 goals against and .924 save percentage.
Yeah.
He is working miracles and losing games.
Yes. He is getting his team to the point where here's a win. No, sorry, buddy. We can't win tonight.
Yeah, we're not gonna do that.
Like, that's what it is. And then, you know, they have John Gibson come back from injury too, and he's 3-0. So that's great.
They are 29th in the league in goals.
I know. That's a big problem. Trevor Zegras got on that NHL cover and then forgot how to play hockey.
Did he ever know? That's the question.
I think he did. I don't understand what's wrong with him.
But they've got them on Friday night. That's another Sabres After Dark. That's a 10 o'clock tip-off.
10 o'clock, not 10:30.
10 o'clock puck drop.
Hey, save a half an hour. It's a Friday.
There's only two games tonight, too. Jets Penguins at 7, and then you at 10.
Oh, boy.
That's
it. Jets Penguins. Woo.
Jets are kind of cool. And then Saturday.
You're right. The Jets are cool this year.
And then Saturday, again, that's the back-to-back. Mm-hmm. San Jose. San Jose is objectively terrible.
Yes, that is that I will give you, because Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith are fun, but other than that, they are bad. And hey, but that night, Joe Thornton's number retirement. So if you want to watch that.
That's right. They are 31st in goals against. They've given up 73 already this year.
The Sharks?
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Man.
Let's go.
That's a number.
Although they're pretty good on the penalty kill, 81%.
Great. That's where the Sabres power play streak's gonna run to an end. You know it.
It's gonna be
you know it.
The Sharks.
There it
They'll finally get a ton of calls. They'll have like six chances going for six.
because that doesn't make any sense. Why are the Sharks so good at the penalty kill?
They might not be actually taking many penalties.
That's true. But that's the thing though, that's so funny about like looking at bad teams is like they can be like the worst team in the league, and then all of a sudden, but they're the best penalty killing team. They just get in the corners and
it's also
and
why hockey's a weird sport, because then like one thing changes next year, and you're all of a sudden it's like, no, they're a playoff team.
It's kind of crazy.
They
looking
won 30
at,
games last year, but they're a playoff team now.
It's kind of crazy looking at their goaltenders too, because they have Mackenzie Blackwood and Vitek Vanacek, who have both had great seasons over the past few years, but now it's just not working out. Both of them over 3 goals against. One of them's under in 900 save percentage at 899.
Yeah.
So, tough times for the Sharks. I want them to be good because they're fun when they're good.
They were good when we were younger.
And they were also good. But they were good recently, too. I mean, remember, it was Vegas's first year in the playoffs.
That's right. Yep.
And it was that series was insane. Yep. I remember watching Cody Eakin just destroy someone in like a really bad hit. Like, it should not have been. He probably should have. I think he did get kicked out of the game, but there was a big fight afterwards. I just remember that specifically from that series.
They were always the team for me, just thinking of like a Western Conference team that just never got over. I mean, obviously we know, but they were always like the best team in the West and would lose then in either the conference championship or the second round.
They were the Bills.
Always the bridesmaid.
They were the Bills to the. And then the Kings were like the Chiefs.
For a little while, yeah, the Kings.
Because the Kings were and the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
And
just always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yeah.
But they'd show up to that wedding season thinking that ring's coming.
Right, exactly. Because like I said, like if you look at, again, this is a very loose comparison, but you look at what the Bills and Chiefs have done over the past few years, and you look at what the Sharks were able to do in the early 2000s, and it's like kind of like, hey, you were always there, but you just never could get there. And
got their nails done.
Yeah.
Got a nice dress.
They were ready to
hired
go.
Hired a photographer. Boyfriend doesn't even show up. 803-0550, the number to call. Also, I want to talk a little bit on UB's win last night. And, of course, we do have Thursday night football tonight. It is Thursday night football, though. Not ideal. But coming up after a quick timeout, Paul Hamilton joins the show to talk more on the Sabres' 1-0 win last night over the LA Kings. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.